Let us pray. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come and bring fresh revelation into our hearts, that we would be able to see what it is that you're doing among us. Amen.
Amen.
So we're on our third week. For those of you that haven't been with us, we are looking at the gifts that Jesus has given to the church from Ephesians 4. We are answering the question, what am I here for? How has God made me? How does he want to use me to build his kingdom? What's my purpose? In the first week, we had a good look at the Ephesians chapter 4. We made note that in Ephesians chapter 4, there is nowhere that says these gifts are only for leadership, which has been a common understanding. Paul writes, to each one of us, grace has been given, as Christ apportions it. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be shepherds and teachers. Perhaps it's worth noting, because God has wired us this way, it doesn't mean that we have reached maturity in our gifts, but we are all wired so that we have one of those, at least, that Jesus has given us so that we can be a blessing to the body, that the body can grow in unity and maturity. So just a brief overview from that first week. The apostles bring change and innovation. They extend the kingdom of God. The prophet is especially wired to be able to hear and communicate the heart of God, gifted in discerning. The evangelist, especially wired to be able to bring and share the good news of Jesus Christ. They are recruiters, people gatherers. The shepherds, they are the carers and the protectors, or nurturing is their area. And the teachers, they have a special ability to be able to grasp and apply truth. They can explain complicated things to us in a way that we can get it. So remember the mountain that we looked at, and the words have disappeared. But when the apostle sees a mountain, he'll say, let's go climb the mountain. Why? Because I haven't done it, and it's something new. The prophet will say, hang on a minute, make sure it's the right mountain. The evangelist will say, let's see how many people we can get to come with us. But the shepherd will say, we have to make sure everyone gets there safely. And the teacher will say, if you don't know how to climb a mountain, follow me, I'll show you. So today we're going to look especially at evangelists and shepherds. So there's our diagram for an evangelist. Now you probably can't remember the one we had for the apostle, but the apostle was also moving out in those different directions. But if you remember, the apostle was actually running. Apostles love to do everything fast. The evangelist is walking. So, what does an evangelist mean? An evangelist is just basically a bearer of the good news of Jesus Christ. In fact, the word evangelist is really just the Greek word being anglicised. One who shares the message easily with others. Evangelists love to find people who are not yet Christians, and they're able to explain the gospel in simple terms and make it relevant to people that haven't been around church. But they also provoke the rest of us to actually go and witness to our faith as well. Because remember, it's not just doing, it's also equipping the rest of the body, is what these gifts are for. So if you're hanging around an evangelist, we'll probably find we get increased boldness. We'll never be like an evangelist, but we do start to move in that direction. So you know you've been with an evangelist if you're stirred up to care for those that don't yet know Jesus. You begin to think about, what could I do? What could I change in my life so that I have time to spend with family and friends, colleagues and neighbours who don't know Jesus, so that they can be reached? You may want to create an event to bring people to. You may want to go and spend time being available in the community. But an evangelist hanging around us will actually stir up our priorities to be with those who don't yet know Jesus. So, who is our model evangelist? Oops. Jesus, of course. Jesus is the good news. And if we return again to our story of the woman at the well in John 4, Jesus did say to start with, the woman did say, he told me everything I ever did. But then it goes on to say, and because of Jesus' words, many more became believers. Another example in scripture, Philip. In Acts 8, it talks about Philip preaching the good news of the kingdom of God, and many people were baptized, both men and women. So, what do evangelists enjoy doing? They love building relationships with people outside of the church. In fact, they often prefer it. They love talking. They love having discussions and sharing their point of view. They, of course, love leading people to Christ. They love encouraging the rest of us to witness. So, evangelists are enthusiasts, people gatherers, networkers. You know those people on Facebook that have 400 and more friends? And they say they know them all? They can be very persuasive. And they love proclaiming what it is that they believe in. But, like every gift, the gift of the evangelist has pitfalls. One of them can be the lack of accountability. And the reason for that is they can go off as lone rangers and have little love for the rest of the body of Christ. Because it's very easy to perceive, and sometimes quite correctly, that maybe we don't spend enough time doing the work of an evangelist. And the evangelist will see that's really important because that's how God's wired them. But evangelists need to know that they need the whole community. They need to learn to love the whole church. Another one is they can be so focused on having people make a decision for Christ that once that has happened, they can actually forget that person and go on and find someone else. But we need to remember that we need to be making disciples, not just decisions. That people need to decide, not just for the moment, but to follow Jesus every day for the rest of their life. Sometimes evangelists are accused of only offering a milk diet, just the basics, no deep teaching. And in some ways I feel sorry for them when they get that complaint, because why did God give us teachers? And sometimes we expect the evangelists to do their job and the job of the rest of the body of Christ as well. So, growth area for an evangelist is really community. Evangelists need to cultivate community. They need to avoid the temptation to run independent of the local church. They need to be in Christian community, not just for their benefit, but also they are needed by the church. We need to be around evangelists to stir us up. Evangelists need the other four roles of APES. They need the apostle that will actually plant new works, whereas the evangelist tends to add to an existing body or existing group. They need prophets, because prophets will help the evangelist see where God's working. And if God's already working there, there's going to be more fruit. The evangelist needs the shepherds to care for the new followers of Jesus, as well as for themselves. And the evangelist needs the teachers to build on the work that they've begun with new believers, to take them into deeper teaching. So, where do we find evangelists? A lot of salespeople will be wired to be evangelists, even if they don't yet know Christ. God has wired them in this way. Maybe journalists, they may be in advertising. Some politicians, you can probably think of some, but really an enthusiast for anything. Something that an evangelist needs to do is to find what we call the person of peace. And if you remember back in Luke 10, when Jesus sent out the people, he said, if you find a home that welcomes you, stay there. The person of peace will welcome you, not only you, but the Jesus that you bring with you. And they will serve you and help you. So you need to invest in that relationship, and you'll get invited into their network of relationships. Hence, many more people that you can influence and bring the gospel to. So, if you're an evangelist, what you need to do is to find a more mature evangelist that you can learn from. Cultivate community. You need other Christians around you. Recognize that we're here to make disciples, not just decisions. And realize that the passion you have for the lost is unusually strong, and it will annoy some people at church. But this is how Jesus has wired you. Evangelists, because of their personality, often have an amazing ability to get away with saying things that the rest of us wouldn't even dare say. But above all, everything must be done out of a relationship with Jesus, because we're not inviting people just to party with us. We're inviting people to meet Jesus for themselves and to follow him for the rest of their lives. Right, so that takes us to the shepherds. And you can see from the picture there of the shepherd, you can see the nurturing, the caring, the gathering people around that picture shows us. Right, so shepherds. A shepherd is someone who cares for others, has a tender heart, and easily sees the needs. They are able to empathize with others. Shepherds long to see us grow to reach our full potential. But to be mature, a shepherd also needs to learn to confront as well as encourage, because that's part of the maturing process. So put it another way, shepherds, they create community. They love people, they love connecting with people. They are the relational people. They help our community work. This is interesting when it comes to a shepherd and leadership. Because shepherds have this desire to go deep with people, it limits the number of people they can genuinely lead. Some people would say 100 would be maximum. A very mature shepherd, maybe 150. But if you have trying to lead more than that as a shepherd, it's just extremely difficult because of the desire to actually know and spend time with each person. Some say 40-50% of us are actually shepherds. In our denominational churches, it's beyond the higher end of that, because the style of church tends to attract the shepherds rather than the apostles and prophets. Some people have said, when they found out that they were a shepherd, that that's just ordinary, they're nothing special for God. But I would say to you that the reason God made so many shepherds is because he has a lot of work for you to do. That what he has wired you to do is really important. Caring for God's people and nurturing community is so vital and necessary for the kingdom of God. Someone has suggested what life would be like if God had made 50% of his apostles. Just imagine all the new things that never got finished. And we'd be exhausted trying to keep up with them. Shepherds also protect their flock. If someone comes in trying to destroy, then the shepherd is going to be there. Watch out. So you know you've been with a shepherd if you're stirred up and you've got a renewed desire to encourage and develop those that are around you. And of course, the perfect shepherd that we model after is Jesus. Jesus the Good Shepherd. And if you read through the Gospels looking for the word compassion, you'll find that a lot of what Jesus did, he did out of compassion. He stayed and taught the people even when he was tired because he had compassion on the people. He had compassion on the people and healed them. So next time you're in the Gospels, look out for that word and you just realise that most of Jesus' ministry was out of that desire, that compassion for people and that desire to see people restored. Biblical example, one that we have is Barnabas. You may remember the story in Acts 15 where Barnabas wanted to take John along and Paul said, no, I've done with him, he messed me up last time. And so they split up and Barnabas took John and encouraged him. And later on, obviously, Paul had a change of heart because he said, get him to come. John Mark, he was called. Get Mark to come. So obviously, Barnabas had done a good job of restoring John Mark. So, what do shepherds enjoy doing? Seeing others grow. One-to-one chats. They love being with people, befriending people, guiding people. They're very good at hospitality. Speaking the truth in love. Very good at listening, and they're very easy to talk to. So shepherds are caring, nurturing, loving, confronting, supporting, mediating. So you know that you've been with a shepherd. If you've been with someone who feels the hurts, the pain, and like Jesus, they're moved with compassion. They'll want to give a helping hand. They might make you a meal or ring you up to see how you're doing. They may send you a card, pray for you, welcome you into their home and serve you. Shepherds will always find a way to serve others. Pitfalls for shepherds. For shepherds, feelings are very real. They may think that because of their high feeling orientation that they're the only ones who care. Sometimes they're the only ones who notice what's happening. For this reason, they can actually listen to people more than God and be swayed by what people are saying. Sometimes they'll find it very difficult to be in a situation where there's confrontation. And they won't confront when they need to, because confrontation can be part of loving. They may have trouble setting boundaries because they want to please everybody. They may be fearful of what someone may think of them. They may do too much and get burnt out. It's very easy for shepherds to think, I've got more love to give than anyone else. Or I can help anybody. Because they feel so deeply. But there is a real problem with that. Shepherds can end up, if they're not careful, trying to be God in people's lives. In the end, it's God who is the good shepherd. So growth area is learning to deal with confrontation. Learning how to place what God says before people's feelings and demands. For the people that we're serving, we need to learn to point them to God and not just draw them to ourselves. We need to learn to set healthy boundaries and hear what God is saying so we can be led by the Holy Spirit. Where do we find shepherds in everyday life? Everywhere. But especially in these areas, counsellors, social workers, nursing, any caregiving, anything to do with building community, human resource people, special education teachers, kindergarten teachers. There is a cultural expectation that women will be shepherds, and we need to watch that, because not all women are shepherds. God has also made some women to be apostles, prophets, and evangelists. And that goes against the grain for our cultural expectations. And especially in church, churches can be very hard on women that God has not made shepherds. So the biggest issue that a shepherd really needs to face is, how do I discern which sheep I should be giving my attention to? So maturity, as we've said, doing what the Father tells us. We need to make sure that our heart shifts from, I want you to know that I care for you, to I want you to know that Jesus cares for you. So if you're a shepherd, find a more mature shepherd that you can learn from. Get some help so you can learn to deal with confrontation. It won't be easy, but it will be worth it. Recognise how you need the other four apiarist roles. If we just spend our time nurturing, we're going to forget that we're part of the body of Christ, which is part of the mission of God. We need to realise that the compassion that we have as shepherds is unusual. Even though 50% of us might have it, not everyone does. What comes naturally to us doesn't come naturally to non-shepherds. That's why they don't see. But it's how Jesus has wired you. You are vital to the health of every community that you're part of, whether it's your church, your home, your neighbourhood, or your work. And like all the other gifts, everything you do needs to be done out of relationship with Jesus. Because you're inviting people to meet Jesus and follow him for the rest of their lives. Let us pray. Father, we first want to thank you for the evangelists that you've wired among us. Father, I ask that you would stir up their gifts, stir up their passion for those that don't yet know you. May we hear them when they challenge us to look outwards and to do the same. Give us a hunger to take you to our community. And Father, I pray for the shepherds among us. We thank you for them. I ask that you would stir up their gift of compassion. Give them courage to learn to confront and to set boundaries where needed. May they not only be peacekeepers, but peacemakers. And may they encourage us to be a caring community that overflows with Jesus' love and compassion for all people. Amen.